piss. Keep it simple, stupid.
Can I just restart, please? I am fucking tethered. I'm all tangled up. Testicles one, two, testicles. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you so much for joining us once more. I am Trebles Garcia, the humble host of this amazing podcast. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank the Lord for allowing me to be here today, and I want to thank every single one of you for allowing me to enter your space. Make sure you drop a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This allows other people to enjoy the show as much as I enjoy making it. And make sure you check us out at paranoidradio.com. You can stream for free. And we also have special announcements on the new updates. We have new guests coming up next month. And we also have gear dropping now available for you to purchase. You're not only going to make us greater, but you're also going to help other people understand the show and follow along and tune in. And basically what I'm trying to do is make some fucking money. All right, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you check us out at paranoidradio.com. And now, without any further ado, I want to give special shout outs to everybody that has collaborated this year. And I want to spend some time thanking the people that we're going to have up next. The podcast show we're going to have up next. Let me get my notes out, bro. Yeah, I'm doing a loser job at this. Please allow me to jump in for the deep into the pool and set the fucking mood. She is a spiritual healer. She heals traumas. She comes with a FDA and CDC revolving door of pharmaceutical background. And I probably butchered that up. But she also is a hostess of her own podcast show. Please welcome Janet from the Probable Janet podcast. How's it going?
Hello, hello, and thank you so much for having me on. It is an honor and a blessing, my friend, to be on your show today. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here and for making me nervous again. You know, I've done this for over 250 episodes, and I sometimes lose my mind. I sometimes lose like my train of thought and the way I do things. And it only happens when like I need to like match the energy. You mentioned Heidi from the Unfiltered Rice podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a very good friend of us. She's gonna be here on the 4th. She's gonna be here on the 6th of March again on Mormon 4, blowing it up again. Massive shout outs to Heidi and massive shout outs for connecting us. Mm-hmm. Her energy is like boom. And yep. I need her there. see, your energy is more like, whoa, you know, like more chill. Let me collect this. More of a visualizer. You're more a reader. And I can't hit that. I can't hit that tone. So I kind of like, when I try to come in, you know, it's a little hard for me to like, oh, readjust. And then my body language tells me that I'm already a little nervous. I'm sweating, you know, so all that good stuff. It happens to the best of us. And it doesn't matter how many years, how many seasons, how many episodes, how many special guests you go through. You could always come back and say, I'm still learning, and I'm still learning the conversation, the communication, true, right? And how to proceed with the hosting abilities. And that's maybe where I gotta start getting more practice on.
You know what I do, because I still get nervous sometimes before a show, and I actually have to sit down and pray before every single show that, you know, God uses me as a vessel. He lets my words come out clearly and concisely, conveys whatever message he once told. Because before, and this was in the past when I had very first started, I felt like I had to drink beer to loosen up before podcasting, and I don't have that issue anymore.
I have to eat. I carry this episode is not brought to you by Oreos, but I have to have a little bag of mini Oreos next to me and a water bottle on every episode I record, specifically if I'm using the whole studio thing. So yeah, it's kind of funny. You'll see me eat from time to time. That's because I'm trying to like get my thoughts, and my jaw helps my muscles. And the way that this works is my energy has to pass through me and then back to you. Okay. Deplorable Janet, let them know where they can find you, what you're about. And right before we jump anything, I want to give a little hint, a little little nugget, people. We're going to be talking about some pharmaceutical fucking secrets. I want you to come in with what you know, your history, an introduction of who you are. This episode is going to revolve around your show. This is your stage, your opportunity to tell the people more about you. I want to learn about you. I don't know what the fuck is happening, but you're going to take over right now. Are you ready?
I am ready. Okay, so Deplorable Nation podcast, you can find it on Rumble. You can find it on every podcast platform. You can find me on Instagram at Deplorable Janet. Twitter account number 14 at No Janet, KNOW. You can find me on Facebook at Janet Fox.
Hold your horses.
Yes.
14? Explain to me.
14.
Huh? Why?
I had a very large account to start out, had lots and lots of followers. And I was very, I guess you could say, political at the time. And I said something off color to Brian Stelter.
Who is that?
And Brian Stelter works for MSNBC. He's a news person.
Really?
Yeah. And so I said something off color to him, which made me lose my account. And then it was kind of like this game that they played. I could start a new account, but then it would automatically tell me that it was disabled. I couldn't post. I couldn't reply to comments, nothing like that. So it was not usable. Mm-hmm. Or they would say, verify your phone number or whatever, and then it would delete my account. And so that was like over and over and over and over again. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay small. I'm going to stay under the radar because
your IP address was hit. Were you doing it from the same? Yeah. Your IP address had to get hit.
We literally used every device that we have in our house. So if I lose it this time, like, it's just gone.
What about your router? If you were using the same router, your Wi-Fi router, that's how they do it.
Yeah, we don't have the same one now. So I should be okay for now. But staying smaller, having a smaller account this time, I think has helped a lot. But the reason why, what?
Sorry if I interrupted.
That's okay.
I haven't lost my Instagram account, knock on freaking wood.
Mm.
If I lose my Instagram account, you know, I spent 3 years trying to build that shit up.
Right.
And when I get dinged, I got dinged twice already. They told me the third time you're going to lose the rights to even go in.
Right.
Unfortunately, these are the tools that you need to use to amplify any message.
Right.
To make any masses, you know, find out what's really happening, to waken up the other lions. This is what mm-hmm. you're going to use. Unfortunately, this is the freaking world we live in. You're using the monetary system already. Right? You're driving the cars that they're providing. You're eating the food that they're providing. You're shooting up the fucking drugs, pharmaceutical drugs that they're providing. And you have to revolve around that spectrum. So I'm sorry you lost so many accounts, but hey, how many stripes do you have on your fucking uniform now? Look at you.
Exactly. And you know, the reason why I decided to start the podcast in the first place, I was originally like a guest on a big podcast, and my friend had talked me into that. He was like, you know, all about this stuff, and he's like, you should come on and you should talk about it. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to, people are going to be bored, they don't want to hear me. Well, then it ended up that I was a regular on that show, but it was not like a set schedule. It was very like, it may be, we'll do one this month, and then it may be 6 months before we record another episode. And like I told you, I'm very chatty. And I was like, you know what, I can do this on my own. And so I started my show because it's therapeutic, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, we do a lot of, because I'm a retired nurse, and I taught all kinds of different medical students. And so I do a lot of holistic health, natural health remedies, mental health, addiction, you know, talk through traumas, PTSD, anxiety, stuff like that. So it's kind of like whole health focused, which we do cover a lot of other stuff too, as well as, you know, experiments and you know, some conspiracy stuff. It depends on what the guest wants to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But that is where I found my lane, because that's what I'm really good at.
Yeah.
So it ended up kind of almost being like an online therapy session for a lot of people. Yeah. And so I was getting some very beautiful feedback from people about, you know, how certain topics really help them. Mm-hmm. And so that's my calling and my purpose. And I'm very glad that God showed me that. So,
and I'm very glad that you are very glad and that God has put you in our path, because mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot of information that is being retained. And I don't want to be too conspiratorial now that you've mentioned that. I'm lighting down, not to get too political, even though Donald Trump is the closest thing to Jesus Christ. It's just something I say, okay? I know it's blasphemous. God knows my heart. I'm just trying to be impactful to people look over here. Hey, you know, I'll meet you on this side. Just turn red. Anyway, the point is, you said something about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You've taught students on mental health. If you could elaborate on that area. The reason I'm asking that, to prepare mm-hmm. you for the next point, is I feel like mental health is not only something that we are all going through in many stages. Mm-hmm. I myself, I don't consider myself a victim. I don't want to victimize myself. I think I'm a survivor. Mm-hmm. I'm probably still going through the situation. You probably already noticed it. And I feel like maybe if I'm going through this trauma, or I already have been, and I'm going through this mental, I want to say, imbalance, if that's the proper word.
Right.
I'm also affecting the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
And the music that we listen to, the patterns of propaganda that we listen to, the color schemes, I feel like everything that we consume on a daily basis and using all our five senses is completely used as a weapon to keep us under this mental instability, this mental health derangement, right? Maybe I could get more about, what do you think about that? And what did you really teach during your pastime? I think I lost you. Let's give it a couple of seconds. There you are.
Am I still there? Okay.
Yeah.
mental health is such like a broad umbrella. There's so many things, like you said, that play a factor in it, involvement in it. And a lot of it is trauma-based. Memories from childhood that maybe you don't even recall as being an issue. Alcohol, foods, how you respond to situations, how you process traumas and things that you've been through. Because what happens with our systems when you encounter a trauma in your life, or something that's, you know, very hard for you to cope with or hard for you to deal with, instead of addressing it, a lot of people suppress that energy. And what happens is your body stores all of that at a cellular level. And so deep within your cells, and every aspect, every cell of your body, you're storing trauma, and you're building up all these traumas inside of you. And that is when your mental health turns into a physical health problem. And that's when we see inflammation come out. So problems with arthritis, constant, you know, headaches, pain in the stomach, digestive issues is one of the biggest things. Because most people, if you think about it, when they're really sad, really depressed, anxious about something, whatever, they always turn to a substance or a thing as a crutch. And so some people it's alcohol. Some people it's sugary snacks, you know, Reese cups or whatever, cookies,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oreo cookies.
this episode is not about to be by Oreos.
Yeah. you know, things like that, sometimes drugs, you know, and what you store comes back out of you. And so when you're storing all that negative energy that you haven't processed and worked through, you are putting that into the world. And so people always get stuck in that rut of, why do all these crappy things keep happening to me? It's one thing after another. There's always problems. It's because you're putting that negative energy back out, and negative energy attracts negative energy. And so you draw more to you, which compounds the problems that you have.
I feel like you just opened up a can of worms. Mm-hmm. I have a theory. I think everybody you interact with at a certain mm-hmm. point in life, you have attracted to yourself.
Right.
For example, mm-hmm. let's say I buy myself 20 bucks of cocaine and cocaine accessories on a Friday night, and I sniff a line. You know what happens? And this is real life. This is a testimony here. Mm-hmm. Everybody that I interacted with during social media, using social media during the week for podcasting on a high vibrational frequency, working my ass off to get this shit off the ground. When I start doing the line, you know who hits me up on my phone? Not you, not Heidi, not Flashy from Flashy underscore News One, my correspondent, not my best friend, co-host, Big Tank. No, other druggies, other mm-hmm. people. Yo, did you get that? Yo, like, there's a pattern now.
Right.
And why is that? I have attracted that amount of people. They mm-hmm. saw the pattern. They know when I get paid. They know I could put it out. They know that they could consume it with me. Oh, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
It becomes a fucking cycle, and it becomes a mental gain. And then out of nowhere, it's Sunday night. You're on a calm down, trying to get back to work, trying to get refocused, right? You say you disattached yourself. And this is me doing testimony of my own self. This is me fucking saying it. You say the testimony, you put like, oh, you know what? No, I disconnected to disconnect from the world. No, you disconnected because you have a bad habit and you're a piece of shit, quite frankly. Right. Right. And it becomes a fucking problem. Now you think you have control of it. And then when you get back to work, the people that used to see you on a high frequency from Monday to Friday, they see you like on a different tone.
Right.
Features are different.
And they're like, what's the matter with you?
Yeah.
You're different today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it causes other people to like reciprocate that same energy. They don't want to fuck with you.
It does. And also, you know, under the mental health umbrella, it's how we deal with situations on a repeated basis, a repeated pattern. So take, for instance, like really bad relationships. And some people, me included, this was in my past, but it was one bad negative relationship after another, right? Hmm. And it's kind of like you're attracting that. You're drawing that into your life. Because you haven't paid attention enough to learn the lessons to be able to deal with the situations to address it differently. So you were an alcoholic, you were abusive, whatever. So the next relationship, you should learn your lesson and be able to go in that without the baggage and be like, you know what? I deserve better. I don't want that for my life. But how many times do we settle because we think that we can fix broken things?
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah. And so it depends on how you evolve yourself and how you look inwardly in yourself to be able to make those changes to address things, even, you know, negative situations, people calling you names or where some people live in the victimhood mentality, right? Yeah. And so it's all the choices that we make. So when do you get to the realization that, you know what? I'm not a victim. I survived. And I survived for a reason, and I'm going to do better. I'm not going to play the survivor. Victim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And know, so that the response thing is also part of it, along with, you know, the foods, the dietary needs and spiritual needs, honest to God, because we can't always clear the stuff out of our system by ourselves, you know, and sometimes things get overwhelming and you got to ask for help.
The flesh wants what the flesh wants.
Right.
And it's a constant battle where you're dragging ass. And then the spirit wants to be closer to the spirit, to the higher up, to the mighty creator. I just had this conversation this morning with one of my best friends at work. I tell him, if you don't get, he's a Bible thumper. He is a Christian to the heart. young Christian warrior. Mm-hmm. And the dude, he sends me a Bible verse in the morning, and then we debate on it, or we I grow my learning on the Bible. His right. mission is to teach me the Bible, not to make me religious.
Right.
According to him, I know he's trying to convert me, whatever. But I like it. I have fun. I learn things about the Bible. And this morning right. we were discussing that, how, you know, the flesh wants what the flesh wants. And this is why we mm-hmm. have these things going back to it. And then that constant battle where, and it's true what he said. You know, when I don't drink a weekend, when I don't interact or engage in any lower frequency activities, the next week, I have a massive breakthrough. Mm-hmm. I attracted not only people to come listen to the show, but I attracted a new special guest that's going to put the numbers through the fucking roof. But most importantly, give me the information and open other doors for me.
Right.
And then those people reflect off of me. You are a reflection of me right now. We are vibrating in this level. Mm-hmm. And it was meant for us to pass, to meet our path. And this is going to open a door for me tomorrow and mm-hmm. hopefully for you as well. Right. But if I would have been allowing my mental health, living in that victimhood, like you said, mm-hmm. like the government wants you to live in that victimhood, like they always want you to be under pharmaceutical drugs to continue right. living in that victimhood and controlling you through manipulation and mental health.
Absolutely.
It's not a conspiracy theory. This is just conspiracy. It's the fucking fact. Excuse mm-hmm. my language. If I would have let that happen, I would have never been behind a fucking mic or even had my beautiful daughters with me. That's right. just fact.
And mm-hmm. and think about this as far as like the mental health community and the quote doctors that are involved, right? Mm-hmm. They have a society, or we have a society, that is built solely on labels. Everybody has to have a label. You're Hispanic, you're Black, you're a victim, you're a drug addict, you're an abuser, you're, right? We always have to live under whatever umbrella they tell us. Hence, they set up, you know, a diagnosis system where they actually diagnose you. It's a permanent place in your medical records that you are this label, right? Without that, they would not have repeat customers. And here is why I say that.
Uh-oh. There we go.
When you go in to see a doctor, and, you know, you're like, I am so depressed, like I can't function right. Everything is happening to me, all these terrible things. And, you know, I need something. And so they'll diagnose you with depression. And then they have to tack on the extras. You probably also have anxiety. And let me tell you, those could not be more polar opposite diagnosis. People who are depressed are sad. They're down. They don't want to get up. They don't want to do anything. They have zero motivation. People that have anxiety are like in a constant state of, you know, like jittery, right?
Mm-hmm. Like me.
Everything is like on hyperdrive. So those yeah. don't go together, but they pair those so they can prepare you for a cocktail of medications. They will not prescribe you just one. If they do, it's just going to be to start. And then they're going to add things, because guess what? The medications for that do not help you get better. And the medications for depression and the medications for anxiety completely counteract each other. Yeah. One is to calm you down. One is to stimulate you, to make you get up and move. So they cancel each other out. So you're stuck in the system forever because you never get better. And they keep adding more drugs. It was built that way.
A massive explosion of knowledge. And I've always been telling you, I have people that have depression. I know people that have depression, at least diagnosed with depression. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, I got to take my pills. My daughter's 13 years old. And this is life. I swear to God, this happened. Mm-hmm. First, vitamins, because she needed to gain weight.
Right.
Then I wanted to give her hormones because she's a little skinny. And then he tell her, oh, and she's also depressed. Mm-hmm. If I would have allowed, not my wife, like I told you in the beginning of the pre-show, My wife is Latin American. If the United States is telling her to do it, she's going to go, yeah, I'll comply.
Mm-hmm.
They start, you have to, they use these words, action words, when you're there. You're going to have to give this to her. And you have to do this to her. And mm-hmm. then we're going to come and check her again. And like, it's a constant, like, you have to. I don't have to do shit, first of all.
Right.
Bitch. Sorry.
That's true, second, though.
Yeah, and then I come at her and I'm like, no, she's not going to do anything. As a matter of fact, I didn't even want my baby, my two-year-old, to have any freaking shots. And they Amen. Were pissed. They Amen. Were so yep. fucking mad. They were like, she's not going to be able to go to public. I'm like, I don't care public school. I'm not even going to be here in 4 years. I'm going to Texas. Like, mm-hmm. no. Let me see what you're going to give her. You're giving her a cocktail. It's fucking bullshit. Same thing. And they get pissed off at you. And then they start doing the empty threats. I'm like, you have no power to come over here and tell me what I'm going to give my daughters, first of all. Mm-hmm. Second of all. You're explaining things to my wife, knowing damn right my wife doesn't even speak English. Like, why are you doing that, dude? You know, like, right. you're using every little tool you have to take advantage of the fucking system and put my daughter on juices.
Right.
My daughter's perfectly fine. She survived it through second and third degree burns when she was younger. And, you know, she is a survivor. Like I told her, like, you know, we lost mm-hmm. a life. You survived and you're here. The word mm-hmm. survive is the key. Of right. how you have to reflect off to the world. Your Truth. Smile, your life, you can't cover this face up. This is who the fuck you are. You have right. to show your beautiful face to the world and acknowledge and be acknowledged. You have to right. send that power out to people. Verbalize who you are. You're right. a survivor. You're not a victim anymore. Get that out of your head. Use the placebo effect. Always look at yourself in the mirror and make sure that you speak positive about yourself. Your body does not know when you're joking around. When you say you're an idiot to yourself in a fucking mirror, you become an idiot slowly. Mm-hmm. And slowly you start becoming right. more of an idiot because your body starts reacting. Your brain starts becoming an right. idiot.
You're speaking something negative. Yeah. And so, again, you're internalizing all of that. Mm. I'm glad you said that about your daughter because that was the most beautiful sentiment. And I will tell you, I worked at a teaching hospital.
Mm.
I ran the Vaccines for Children program.
And oh, God.
Here is a little ditty that people do not know. Providers, doctors, you know, practitioners, nurse practitioners, whatever. Providers get specific information from the state, from medical manufacturers, et cetera, that is not public knowledge. It is not information that is privy to the public, right? Also, when you go in for vaccinations, it is, quote, mandated that they give you what's called a vaccine information statement. That is the most baloney piece of paper you could ever get. Because every single one of them is going to say, no matter what the vaccination is, it's going to say, could experience some redness at the injection site, may get a slight fever, may develop a slight rash. All of these things are normal. Okay, no. And then if there's any other concerns, contact your doctor. They're very basic, very bullshit. It does not tell you anything to look out for. Now, I will tell you, being indoctrinated in school myself, I grew up thinking medical word is God, right? Not God as in God above, but that this is like the end all be all. This is the word State that we're supposed art. To listen yeah. to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not until my daughter got vaccine injured from a vaccine that I gave her.
Oh, God.
When I was working, right? And then I started reading the package inserts. And my whole entire life changed. Because not only did I run the program, but we were also a reporting agency for the state. So anytime a rollout of a new vaccine came, and we're going to pick the chickenpox one, that's the varicella vaccination, just for giggles. So they first developed this and they said, oh my gosh, this will prevent everyone from getting chickenpox sound familiar to something else that just came out?
I got something to say about that too. Sure.
And then we started, you know, giving it. And we're like, whoa, like we are seeing explosion cases of chickenpox. And the state's like, maybe you should start like reporting those. Wait. Well, I got a great idea. We'll make 2 doses mandatory. Because if they already had massive chickenpox from one, what could go wrong with number two? Well, it's going to lessen the symptoms. Did we hear that before as well? Yeah. They have literally used this for every vaccination rollout through history, period. So then it was, well, it will prevent the severity. Well, we had to start reporting to the state, and we had a categories. It was like 0 to 30 spots. 30 to 500 spots, you know, whatever, based on severity. And I'm filling out these forms literally every single day with hundreds of patient names on it. And they kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And what did they do? They put it on the schedule to make it mandatory for children to get. It didn't prevent anybody from getting it. It didn't lessen the symptoms of anybody. But what it did do, and they used to always tell you when you got chickenpox, you would only get it once and you would never get it again. That vaccination caused people to have repeated cases of chickenpox and the most severe I have ever seen.
I thought you could only get chickenpox once in your lifetime.
Nope. Not after the rollout of the vaccination.
Wait, hold the fuck up. Wait. Rewind. I thought you could only get chickenpox once in your lifetime.
That's what they used to say, but that is not the case after the varicella vaccination rollout.
Absolutely mind-blowing.
The same, because this is a live attenuated vaccine, which means it is a live chickenpox thing that they inject into people. It is the same thing that also causes shingles. So what did they do? They ramped up the campaign for Zostavax, which is the shingles vaccination. And everybody should get it. If you've ever had chickenpox, you should get a Zostavax. And then they started developing new shingles vaccinations that we're going to prevent you from getting it, prevent the severity, and none of that happened. People still get it. People still get it multiple times, and they get it severely.
You know what? That's mind-blowing. When they rolled out the COVID vaccine, we've seen the same thing. I think
right
now, if you go on to the Red Cross, they want you to register to see if you got it or not. The reason they're asking this question is because, for example, if you get into a car crash and you need to get your blood, you need to get donated blood into your body, they need to know if you're vaccinated or not, or the other way around, I believe. I'm not sure how that works. But now it is, if you don't have the vaccine, the insurance company is going to have to compensate whoever's donating the blood. So it becomes more expensive for you to get your blood donated because they have the fucking COVID vaccine. That is huge. And it's all a money grab from
well, and it is. And think about this, the Red Cross, sorry to say it, but it is nothing more than another arm of the federal government. The Red Cross has been involved in so many scandals, so many things throughout history. Donations don't go where they're supposed to. They throw things in the garbage, as we've seen caught on video before. But what they did was kind of brilliant, right? Because they knew that this shot caused massive white fibrous clots in people's systems, right?
The chickenpox.
No,
the COVID,
right? Yeah. So they knew because this was on their FDA call that they had way before they ever even did the emergency use approval. They knew there was fibrous issues, they knew there was clot issues, and so if they can taint our blood supply, because how are you going to scan and clean everyone's blood of not only clots, but graphene oxide and everything else that was found to be a contaminant in these vaccinations? So if there's no blood supply, that kind of goes hand in hand with the socialized medicine, right? Because they always have a limited supply of blood from clean donors. The only people that were donating all of the time can't donate anymore because they can't clean that. They don't know how to clean it. Kind of like the HIV scandal back in the 80s. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to clean it. They didn't know how to filter anything. So people were getting HIV,
Oh, God.
AIDS, etc., from the blood supply because they didn't know how to clean it.
This is why they want you to register, dude. Oh, my God.
And they can keep an active eye on the people who are vaccine deniers, right? Because believe it or not, when I was talking about they have a diagnosis that they put everyone under, right? You're mentally ill, you're schizophrenic, you're bipolar, you're depressed, you're blah, blah, blah. They also made during COVID a specific diagnostic identifier for people who refuse to get the vaccination. It is an actual diagnosis code that will go in your permanent health record.
On your health record,
Yes, sir.
even though you're completely healthy.
And you want to know something else? And people don't know this as a general rule, but back in the Obama administration, he mandated everything go electronic. All records have to be electronic, prescriptions have to be electronic, everything has to go online, right? Anything that the doctor diagnoses you with at a visit, those diagnosis codes go to the WHO. The WHO literally, and that's the World Health Organization, for people who don't know, they literally have diagnostic information on any patient that's ever been seen for anything.
This is how they
Anything.
have. Oh, I don't want to go into clones or anything, but this is how they have the DNA for everybody. This is how they had what's his name? Hassan Hussein. What's his name? No, Osama bin Laden's freaking DNA.
So think about this. And this has been like a thing that I've talked about for years. The same people that own Google, right, that watch everything that you search for and whatever.
It's in
That's
their
this
settings.
that's the same family that started the 23andMe. Okay. So what they were doing was collecting a wide swath DNA from the population. Now, you don't have to give a sample of your DNA. But if somebody in your family line did, they also have your genetics. And so from 23andMe and the other sites that do the DNA collection, Ancestry.com, the
Yeah,
Henley
I heard
Notes,
that.
they have built the Human Genome Project. That Human Genome Project has been used by the military, the Pentagon. The military industrial complex, scientists, researchers, universities, et cetera, for bioweaponry. 100,000% bioweaponry. And here's another interesting thing about that. They questioned the origins of COVID. Then the government investigated itself and said, we didn't do anything wrong. It really came from a bat. But more and more information's coming out that they lied, right? And it was bioengineered. Biden's administration, his first day in office, signed a bioengineering, you know, whatever they're called. I just had a brain fart.
So, executive orders?
Yes. Uh-huh. Signed a bioengineering thing that's all, you know, biochemical, bioengineering, bio everything, right? The United States actually is an active participant in a bioweapons treaty that was signed back in 1971 that says we will not manufacture, trade, send, store, et cetera, any biological weapons or biological weapon components.
That's what they have them in Ukraine.
We own
wow
so many bioweapons facilities or bio lab facilities literally all over the world. They're in Thailand, they're in Ukraine, they're in Japan. They're literally all over the United States. We have one here locally. There are different classifications of biolabs. It's like 1 through 4. It tells you what you can and can't handle. But I will tell you the one that is here locally, they do handle things that are not supposed to be, and they ship them via the post office, the U.S. post office.
Planned Parenthood. I was reading this article. I did some research on the word I'm trying to say is when you're not racist, but you're trying to make sure that only the top of the race, the best qualities of race, eugenics. There we go. Mm-hmm. I did an episode called Eugenics on season 1.
I just did eugenics. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there it is.
I was some very interesting experiments.
Yeah. Oh, well, we could jump into that and give you, I could hijack some of those ideas on this. I noticed, and we were talking about how Planned Parenthood and the build, mm-hmm. the gates, the original gates, opened right. Planned Parenthood in the original areas were the ghetto areas, where right. areas, you know, where people are more susceptible to having unprotected sex, going mm-hmm. through, you know, STDs, and then right. Having accessibility to making abortions. Mm-hmm. Doing abortions on themselves twice a year sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or more, as many as your body can fucking handle.
I was going to say, let me tell you this really quick. I had a family that had 4 daughters. They did not take birth control. They would get pregnant repeatedly, and their answer was always an abortion. Each one of the teenage girls, while I was working at this facility, had at least 6 apiece.
In a year?
No. Through my time working there.
Oh my God.
But that was their birth control.
What happens to the fetuses? So this is one of the questions that we were picking up on a thing. And I mm-hmm. know for a fact that, for example, South Korea uses specific skin cells from the tip of the penises of babies, mm-hmm. the ones that they cut off for right. cream and for your
yes
for your freaking
Estee Lauder, which is one of the most, you know, elitist makeup line, skincare line, et cetera, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
It is actually made from circumcised babies.
Get the fuck out. That's and then we found that stem cells and mm-hmm. cancer curable stem cell mm-hmm. research right. is illegal to be practiced in the United States of America, but it's not illegal around the world.
They do it anyway,
right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And where can you find huge explosive amounts of adrenochrome and nutrients and minerals? Mm-hmm. In fetuses, bro. And mm-hmm. and during the beginning stages of a pregnancy in the bloodstream of mothers.
Right.
This is not a lie. This is, I mean, it's told to us in Hollywood movies. Lucy, everything is told to you. Karmic retribution. This is what they live. They have to expose what they're doing through entertainment so you can normalize it and think it's just a fucking sci-fi movie.
Right.
Again, titled it under a fucking category, sci-fi, but it really is happening worldwide.
So you mentioned the eugenics, and I just want to say people really need to look into the things that our government has done to people throughout our history. And this is one of the most discouraging, disturbing, shocking things that was allowed to happen. And it was in New York on Staten Island. It was at the Willowbrook State School. And so most of the patients at this state school were their children with disabilities, whether it be physical or
mental. You had to take it there, bro.
No, I'm telling you, there are multiple that I can tell you all about that are children's homes. So at this Willowbrook State School, most of the population there were Black and Hispanic children. Whether they were, you know, actually physically, mentally disabled, whatever is to be seen, because a lot of these schools had very loose definitions of that. Okay. And so this place was filthy, disgusting, dirty. So think about like back in the 1800s and stuff. Right.
Yeah.
In society, no working plumbing and all that. So we're throwing buckets of feces and stuff out into the street. So that's what this place was like. Disgustingly dirty. So these kids kept getting hepatitis and they couldn't figure out what was causing it. Duh. Like, you don't know from the dirty conditions. But since the state owned this, they approved a doctor from Yale University to come in and study these children. Now, this is where it gets really, really disturbing. He was taking stool that was infected in these children with hepatitis, and he was feeding it to the other children so that 100% of their patients had hepatitis, giving them active hepatitis by feeding them poop.
I could have found a million other ways to get hepatitis directly. I mean, you don't have to eat shit. Fucking
so here was his response. He felt like he was justified in doing these experiments on these, quote, retarded kids, because they were all going to eventually wind up with it anyway. This school was investigated. There was numerous newspaper articles, journal articles, magazines, the whole nine yards.
I need the name of this school and the date, if you don't mind.
It is Willowbrook State School. It was finally actually shut down in, I think it was 19.
I'm doing an episode on Willowbrook. I'm doing an episode on the Red Cross. And next up, Willowbrook. I'm going to jump deep into that.
1947 to 1987. So it was open for 40 years while this creep was doing these things to these kids. And so, you know, his name was Dr. Krugman. Sorry, he was from not Yale. He was from New York University. But like I said, his whole thing was, you know, so what? Basically, they're lab rats and we don't care because no one cares about them. They're throwaway kids.
You said
1940s? And they're retarded anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, well, in 1940s.
There's a lot in the 1940s.
A lot. Yeah. Yeah. The birth of all these documented extra, I want to say, weird experiments that were happening around the world. Right. Especially in the US, they were getting funded, and they were, because the world was at war, we had to, just because the Germans were doing it, so we have to copy them and beat them at it. The Russians were doing it, we have to copy them and beat them at it. So yeah, I hear you loud but and
this,
clear.
I mean, this went on for 40 years and nothing happened for 40 years, even though everyone knew, the state knew, they had Congress people that went and toured the facility and stuff, but the state owned it, the state funded it, and so the state is not gonna punish the state, right? And that's what always happens.
That's what happened with Bill Clinton in the 90s. Bill Clinton, this is real, ladies and gentlemen, hashtag look it up, you will find it, public knowledge. Bill Clinton apologized for the MK Ultra victims.
Well, Robert Kennedy was involved in this one. Senator Kennedy was involved in this because he was from New York. He went and toured it, and it was still allowed to stay open for a while. So
this is JFK's brother, right?
Yeah. Listen to this one. This was the Incarnation Children's Center, again, in New York City. Partnership with the Catholic Charities and Columbia University, so another university. They're involved in all of these, by the way. This was from 1989 to 2000. It was used as a foster care boarding home. So kids that were taken away or that came into foster care, they were put into this place. So enter Dr. Fauci. Oh. At this time, 1992, Dr. Fauci was really pushing for his HIV medication, AZT, to be approved by the FDA and, you know, CDC and the whole nine yards.
Uh-huh.
And so he used the kids at this facility as his guinea pig kids. He started forcibly enrolling these children in drug studies. And so over 200 people died from these HIV drugs because these kids were very little. They were malnourished, you know, poor, etc. So 200 dead of 532. But there are records missing and they did not follow up with the kids when they left this hospital. And so there could have been more. But these kids, if they didn't want to take this cocktail of HIV medications, they were actually operated on, and feeding tubes would go directly into their stomach. So they were putting the drugs through the feeding tubes and making these kids get them. So not only were they forcibly putting medications down their throat, but they would also, like I said, you know, operate, put a feeding tube in the stomach and do it that way. And so there was a journalist that actually had heard about this, went undercover into the school and fully documented like the case and the treatment of these kids and the abuse they received and whatever, and how many times Dr. Fauci had visited while they were using these kids as experimentation grounds.
It's funny because it resonates with the story of MK Ultra.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, it evolved to now that we, I'll put some contrast in it. We are going through it again on a massive scale.
Mm-hmm.
We are today, and this is going to be the closing statements on this amazing episode that you fucking blew it up.
Thank you.
We are watching the evolution, the engagement of not only indoctrination and feeding us through entertainment. No.
Right.
But feeding us with tubes. Pharmaceutical food, pharmaceutical drugs.
And pretty soon, pharmaceutical bugs.
And bugs, which Europe's already freaking ready to freaking start making patties on. And then you and I, or the normies, start giving it to our fucking kids. starting with our fucking phones. It's yo, and now it's on a massive scale. Now you got the sheep doing it to the sheep. It's not so much secret anymore. It's not illegal anymore if everybody's doing it to each other. This is huge, man.
Right. And I think the saving grace for our population is that when they manufacture these stories and put them out in the news anymore, like, you know, all this died and suddenly stuff or whatever. Well, it's because men are taking too hot of a shower. It's because women are wearing this brand of exercise pants, you know, whatever. People see through the bullshit anymore. But there are so many things in our history that people don't know about, and the massive scale of experimentation on our population that takes place in hospitals, in state schools, whatever. And they look the other way because the government is not going to punish the government. And so these things are allowed to continue, and it is no different today. Your government is experimenting on the population in a massive way without consent, just like these other experiments that they did throughout history.
We did an episode on direct energy weapons. This is not just laser weapons from the fucking satellites, dude.
Right.
This is frequencies, vibrational frequencies that are microwaving your brains and making your cells erupt from the inside out.
Bioengineered to target your genetic makeup.
DNA hacking. You know how much information one cell, one drop of blood has? Mm-hmm. It has the entire line of your existence, the reason why you're here. And the only this is my personal opinion. This is Treble saying this. The only thing that connects you to divinity, the only thing that connects you to the creator, which is God. Even the Bible talks about how he shed his blood to clear out your sins. The blood is the only thing connecting you to the mighty creation and for you to be a creator yourself and get closer to the spiritual being. Yo, Janet, now that you're here. And you fucking blew it up. This is an amazing conversation. I didn't know you were going
to
be.
I can talk to you literally for 12 hours and not get bored.
You're amazing. Your podcast show. Give them the name. Give them the handle. Where can they find you one more time?
Deplorable Nation podcast on every podcast platform. You can also watch the video episodes. The only place you can find those is on Rumble at Deplorable Nation podcast. If you want to chit chat, if you have a story you want to share, you want to come on the show, whatever, hit me up on Instagram at Deplorable Janet. Hit me up on Twitter at No Janet, or hit me up on Facebook at Janet Fox.
I thought your show was called Deplorable Janet because that's your handle on Instagram. I apologize if I butchered that in the beginning. Deplorable Nation, everybody, make sure you check her out on Instagram. Drop a five-star review on her show. And you can also find her link on paranoidradio.com under the guest links, on the drop-down menu for guest links and special guests and links. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us again on this amazing adventure. Again, drop a five-star review on the Apple podcast that allows other people to enjoy the show as much as I enjoy making it. Thank you, everyone, and thank you, Janet, for blowing it up. We got to get you back. You got to get you back. We went to set up a date. I want the Probable Janet 2, episode 2, and we're going to continue this conversation.
Anytime.
Please, I'm going to hit you around the DMs, and then we're going to lock it up sometime next month. Or whenever you're free, please let me know. This works. I love the conversation, and we're going to blow up together. See you at the top. Paranoid Radio.